Have you ever noticed how the most profound moments of your life arrive wrapped in paradox? You feel most alive when facing mortality, most connected when asserting your independence, most certain when embracing doubt. These aren't flaws in the human experience. They're its defining architecture. We exist suspended between opposing forces, subject and object, free yet constrained, infinite in aspiration yet finite in time. Most philosophical systems promise to resolve these tensions, offering neat categories that tidy up existence's messiness. But what if the mess is the point? What if learning to live well means learning to dance with contradiction rather than eliminating it? This question animated post-war Paris, where existentialism wasn't just academic philosophy, but a lived response to occupation, collaboration, and resistance. People had witnessed humanity at its most heroic and most depraved, sometimes within the same person. The old certainties about progress, rationality, and human nature lay shattered. Into this landscape came a radical proposition: stop fleeing from ambiguity and find strength in it instead. Our contradictions aren't problems requiring solutions, but the very condition that makes authentic freedom possible. You're a sovereign consciousness no one can penetrate, yet a body subject to gravity, aging, and others' gazes. You're both observer and observed, author of your story and character in everyone else's narratives. Your present moment is a razor's edge between an unchangeable past and non-existent future. You're utterly unique, yet depend entirely on others for meaning and the language shaping your self-understanding. Philosophers found this intolerable. Some reduced mind to brain chemistry, others elevated spirit about flesh. Religious systems promised immortality to deny death. These attempts share one impulse: make ambiguity disappear. But today, this paradox feels inescapable. We've created technologies that could end or transcend human existence. Without God or cosmic purpose, you become completely responsible for a world of your own making. This sounds terrifying until you realize it's liberating. Values don't exist out there like mathematical truths. They spring into existence through human freedom, through your choices and commitments. Desire creates the desirable. Your caring makes things matter. We inherit a ready-made world. As children, we absorb values from parents, teachers, and culture without question. The adult world appears absolute, a realm of fixed rules demanding obedience. This creates peculiar security. The child exists in metaphysical privilege, escaping freedom's anguish. Their acts weigh nothing. They play freely since nothing truly engages reality. Some never leave this childhood, those who unquestioningly adopt cultural opinions without examining inherited beliefs. Women in traditional societies often exemplified this, adopting men's views without question, anyone mistaking their particular situation for natural law. But this world rarely survives adolescence. You notice contradictions in adult pronouncements. Godlike figures reveal themselves as uncertain creatures. You realize language, customs, and values originate from fallible humans like you. Suddenly, your acts weigh upon the earth. You must choose and decide. The serious world's collapse is simultaneously liberating and terrifying. You're abandoned to freedom. Some become serious men, adults refusing to recognize they freely establish their end's value. They enslave themselves to causes, forgetting human freedom is the ultimate end. They accord absolute meaning to words like useful or efficient without asking, useful for what? The colonial administrator idolizing infrastructure sacrifices native lives without scruple. Seriousness becomes fanaticism, the Inquisition imposing beliefs through torture, ideologues imposing systems regardless of human cost. When seriousness fails, nihilism often follows. If you can't be everything, why be anything? The nihilist mirrors the serious man with opposite valence. Both conceive their positions substantially rather than as living movement. Some nihilists maintain affection for the world they reject, like teenagers who scorn yet secretly respect their parents. Others annihilate both world and self through sabotage and incoherent rebellion. The paradox, even nihilism reveals positivity. To reject existence, you must keep existing. Even the most faithful nihilists find their negation becoming an ethics. The adventurer throws himself into undertakings with zest while remaining detached from their ends. The explorer who doesn't care which mountain, just that he climbs. Yet adventure often masks secret seriousness. The passionate man represents adventure's opposite. He sets up objects as absolutes, a beloved, a cause, an art, and seeks complete possession. In romantic passion, you prefer your beloved unknown to others, believing your unique revelation makes appropriation greater. But possession always fails. The passionate man creates his own hell, populating the world with treasures that never fully give themselves, remaining tragically dependent on objects beyond his control. Some claim aesthetic detachment from their era, viewing history with equal passion and temples as mere curiosities. This temptation grows during difficult times among those seeking to remain aloof from the fray. But such withdrawal flees the present's truth. While you can contemplate the past eclectically, the present demands choice and action. You cannot avoid living through a project. Intellectuals who sought to rise above their era's drama were nonetheless its actors. Their inertia served those in power. We never merely contemplate, we do. Freedom realizes itself only by engaging the world through definite acts. To will freedom and to disclose being are the same choice. Freedom takes a positive, constructive step, causing being to pass to existence in constantly surpassed movement. Science, technology, art, and philosophy represent indefinite conquests of existence over being. This gives progress its true meaning, not approaching some fixed limit like absolute knowledge, but pursuing existence's expansion. Yet, some can justify their lives only through negative action. Why? Because oppression exists. Oppression condemns transcendence to fall uselessly back upon itself by cutting it off from its goals. You're never oppressed by things, only by other humans. Material obstacles sustain action as air sustains flight. Only humans can be enemies for humans, robbing others of meaning. When others force you to consume your transcendence in vain, they cut you off from the future, changing you into a thing. The oppressed has one solution. Deny the harmony that excludes them and prove their humanity through revolt. Liberation requires converting oppressors, yet collective conversion cannot be guaranteed. Sometimes violence becomes necessary to end oppression, confirming human separation. Those who revolt risk becoming oppressors themselves. You must sometimes fight not just oppressors, but those serving them through ignorance. Throughout history, tyrants exploit this paradox, claiming individuals find fulfillment by losing themselves in collective service. Leaders preach that life is fulfilled through death, freedom through servitude. But if each generation is sacrificed to the next, history becomes endless negation. Sacrifice maintains meaning only when recognizing each person's irreducible value. Death is absolute renunciation, not negligible transition. Action must be lived conscious of its contradictions. Like art or science, all human endeavors involve failure without invalidating them. Freedom must be achieved absolutely in aiming at itself, with each action forming a finished whole, where present and future, means and ends reflect each other. The ethical person maintains indefinite questioning. Am I really working for human liberation? The individual must be one of your action's ends. Freedom has a concrete bond with existence. To will human freedom is to will the disclosure of being in the joy of existence. Production and progress are meaningless if not retrievable as individual joy. This ethics accords absolute value to individuals while opposing doctrines elevating abstractions above actual people. In a world selling certainty, we've forgotten the most radical truth. Your freedom is both absolutely real and radically finite. This isn't a bug. It's the feature that makes authentic existence possible. The struggle never ends. The victory never arrives in final form. The ambiguity never resolves. Critics call this gullibility, but humanity cannot completely deceive itself since it establishes the very criteria of truth and falsehood. When you attach value to words, forms, colors, or other people, these things immediately have absolute value. This justification, though open to the entire universe, will always be finite, giving this vision its austerity and beauty. You remain absolutely free if you choose to will your existence in its finiteness, a finiteness open to the infinite. The ancient wisdom holds, do what you must, come what may. Your contradictions aren't obstacles to overcome, but the very ground of your humanity. Live them fully. Choose freely. Create meaning through your commitments. The ambiguity isn't what you need to escape, it's where you've always belonged.